my sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, down deep in the sea. So deep they shall never be brought against me, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. My soul is rejoicing, my sins are all gone, down deep in the sea. I praise the dear Lord who has cast everyone down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea. From sin's condemnation I am now released, down deep in the sea. And all of the dread of the past is now ceased, down deep in the sea. Down, 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 down in the depths of the sea. The sins of the past are all gone at last, down in the depths of the sea.
Amen. I've been knowing Brother Niederville for a long time. I think we talked about him back in the late 90s. That's a long time ago. And I told him he looked a lot younger than he did then. I don't know how that happened. But anyways, we are so glad to be here. And I know that you're tired. You've been working hard. Lots of things going on. I slipped inside the building over there and somebody's been working. Amen. And this is a great time for you, and so we try not to keep you long. Now, go ahead and take your Bible, turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. While you're turning there, I got my wife with me. And my wife, I won't call you wife if somebody else did that, but if you'll just raise your hand, show them where you are right now. I think they figured you out. And we've been married 45 years come June the 5th. And best thing that ever happened to her. Man. How many old people in here tonight? Let me see your hands. A lot of you. I'll get there one day. An elderly Florida lady did her shopping. And upon returning to her car, she found four males in the act of leaving with her vehicle. She dropped her shopping bag, drew her handgun, proceeded to scream at the top of her lungs, "I have a gun, and I know how to use it. Get out of the car!" Well, the four men didn't wait for a second. They got out and ran like mad. And what's amazing is, the lady, somewhat shaken, proceeded to load her shopping bags into the back of the car and got into the driver's seat. She was so shaken, she could not get her key into the ignition. She tried and tried, and then she realized why. It was for the same reason she wondered why there was a football and a frisbee and 2 12-packs of beer in the front seat. A few minutes later, she found her own car parked 4 spaces down from where she was. Don't laugh at that. I've had to use my keys to find out where I parked at. She loaded her bags into her car and drove to the police station to report her mistake. The sergeant to whom she told the story couldn't stop laughing. He pointed at the other end of the counter where four pale men were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman described as white, less than 5 feet tall, wearing glasses, curly white hair, and carrying a very large handgun. Moral of this story, if you're going to have a senior moment, make it memorial. Make it memorable. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have many times done some dumb things like that. I walked up my wife the other night. She walked right up to another truck. Thought that's where we're supposed to be. So that's what happens to senior people. Amen. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Thank you, preacher, for letting us come and be here. And thank you for being Jeremy's hero, my middle son. And he just loves you to death. He really does. And we're proud of our boys. They're all faithfully serving God today in local churches. And I say today because anything could happen, God forbid. But we're just very, very happy they are. I'm glad that all my 9 grandkids are saved. 3 of them called to full-time Christian service. So we're blessed. Amen. Thought I'd get that in for Grandma's sake. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Would you stand with me for just a moment? Verse number 21 and following. The Bible said, when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. You know, it's amazing that if you look in this passage of Scripture, in this chapter, you'll find the demoniac falling at his feet, sitting at his feet. Verse 15, you'll find Jairus falling at his feet in verse 22. And then down, if you will, in verse number 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. You know, it'd do us well if we found ourselves at the feet of Christ every once in a while. Look at verse number 23. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood of 12 years, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. I want to preach on this subject tonight, and you'll understand it in a few moments. A touch of Easter today. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be here in this church tonight. What a great church. What a great testimony. What a great pastor they have here and good people. Lord, help me to be a blessing to them tonight. Holy Spirit of God, please speak to each heart individually tonight. Help them wherever they need to be helped. Challenge them, encourage them. Lord, if there's a reproof or rebuke, you know how to do that better than us. And I pray the Holy Spirit would work on that. And Lord, that we leave here better than we came in, and Lord, maybe some of us even change in areas we need to change. And we'll love you and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is no doubt a true story that we read here about two great miracles performed by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see Jesus being confronted by Jairus that we read about a moment ago, one of the rulers of the synagogue. And as he approached Jesus, he fell at his feet to tell Jesus that his little daughter, 12 years old, and you'll read that in Luke chapter 8, by the way, verse 42, but you'll find where she was 12 years old, was lying at the point of death. What of? We're not sure. But the Bible tells us that Jesus began to follow the ruler so he may go and take and attend to that daughter. But he was interrupted, and he was stopped immediately in his tracks. Look at verse 24. And a certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things, dropped down, we've read that. Look at verse number 27. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. When we read that scripture there, we begin to find some things that don't make a lot of sense to you and I in the flesh, but in the Spirit as we read farther, we'll understand. With all the throng of the people around Jesus that day, we find that a very determined woman who had been to every doctor and really had could not find a cure for her sickness, made her way, listen to me now, with faith in her heart and hope for her healing. But there were hundreds of people that day that came to see Jesus, heard about Him, wanted to see him. And listen very carefully. She knew that only one man out of that entire bunch was going to be able to heal her completely. With all the people gathered around Jesus that day, they were pushing and shoving, no doubt. The Lord asks a question after he had been touched. And you know it well. Look at verse 31. The disciple said unto him, Thou seest the multitude wrong thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? He had asked who had touched him on that day. And they responded like you and I would. How in the world are we going to tell who touched you, Lord? Look at the crowd. Look at the throng of the multitude this day. Look at verse 32. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he saith unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I was sitting reading these scriptures here probably a year ago, and God got a hold of my heart about this, and it was in the same month that Easter was last year. And this year it's in March. In fact, I think it's the 27th, if I recall, this year, March 27th. But I began to read this, and it became more like a devotion, preacher, to me personally. Hear me well. There were a lot of people today on that day thronging around the Lord. And it got me to thinking about church. How many people come to church? And don't get me wrong, I think church is for good fellowship. Good to encourage one another, no doubt. But sometimes we get too busy thronging instead of touching. Are you with me? We get so busy thronging and fellowshipping with each other that we forget to reach out and touch the Lord in the service. And there are a lot of people today thronging around the church. There's religious gatherings in some churches, gospel concerts in others, rubbing shoulders with others, and that's not totally bad. Without ever realizing that Jesus was in the throng. Without ever realizing that He was passing by our way. And I know there's been many messages on Him passing by only once. And it's true here. But understand this. Jesus knew, and Jesus knows tonight, those who touch Him with their faith. And those who are just around sightseeing. Look at verse 34 again. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. He knew that this woman had touched him. How, I don't know. But he's able to pick her out of the bunch and look directly to her. I can remember another time where somebody was just thronging around the church. They were not operating in the realm of faith. The guy's name's Peter. Peter had followed the Lord to that time where he's being tortured and beaten and challenged. And he had been challenged on, you're one of them. You know the story. He denied the Lord, what? Three times. You remember after that third denial? You remember that? And the cock crowed. The Bible says the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Everybody was around there watching what was going on, but there was one person he picked out, and his name was Peter. Years ago, I got the opportunity to preach in Old First Baptist Church, downtown Fort Worth, behind Dr. Norris's old pulpit, one of the preacher boys that was picked to do that. And boy, what a joy that was. And I had a theologian type professor there, one of mine, that I preached on the look of Christ. And I said, I bet the Lord looked at him and said, you sorry rascal, you. He come up to me, preacher. He said, you ever thought that the look of the Lord when he looked at Peter was enough in itself? What he said, you ever thought the Lord looked on Peter and Peter just melted in conviction? You ever thought the Lord looked on Peter and he just, all of a sudden, Peter got tears in his eyes? The Bible said he ran off, went out, and he wept bitterly. I don't think he really repented right then, but he wept bitterly over that. Why? Because he didn't claim Jesus. He didn't touch Jesus that day. He just kind of thronged around the crowd that had gathered there while they wanted to crucify him. By the way, how are you touching him tonight? How are you touching him tonight? Are you rubbing shoulders with others in the church? But are you reaching out to him and touching him by faith? Or, you know, some Christians today are not even reaching out anymore. You know, you got a great church here, great pastor, great staff, and no doubt great friends in the church of many time, folks. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But many times he becomes second. or third, or when we get in trouble, before we touch Him. If you're reaching out to Him, I promise you, He knows in what manner you're touching Him and where you are when you do. I'm glad I can touch Him, amen? More important than that, I'm glad He touched me. I'll never forget that night, a church member, youth pastor, drove a bus, brought in 45 kids back in the late 70s on a bus for the then Awana program that we don't really use anymore, I don't think. But anyway, brought 45 kids in, dropped them off, walked down the stairs into my preacher's office and said, Brother Heath, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. And he said, what is that, Brother Buster? And that was my name growing up. He said, I don't think I'm saved. Well, he said, Brother Buster, you know what to do, don't you? I said, Preacher, I not only know what to do, I have memorized the Romans Road and 1 John 5, 10 through. I memorized all that. But it was on that night in my preacher's office, two chair. I knelt at one, he knelt at the other. It was that night that I reached out by faith to touch him who reached down to touch me. And I was gloriously born again. And I walked in my Sunday school class on Sunday morning. Guess what? I could discern the Word of God. I understood what was going on. A lot of people in church today hadn't really reached out and touched Him by faith. Some who haven't touched out to be saved. And some who are saved that haven't reached out to touch Him in a long time. You know, if she hadn't been there that day, preacher, she'd have never got her healing. If she hadn't listened to me, she had to shove her way through the crowd, crawl on her hands and knees, and all the way through that throng of people, all the way out, my brother, to get to Jesus and just touch the hem of His garment. I wished all of God's people had that kind of desire. To get through everything in life, the throng of this world, the throng of the problems in life, and just get close enough to Him that you reach out and touch the hem of His garment and let God do the rest. And does He not do that when we reach out? I have great news for you tonight. He's passing by at this very moment in this church. As we've got His book open and we're talking about Him, can I say to you tonight, He's here waiting for you to reach out. He's already reached out to you. Here are some things I want you to think about tonight and try to get through this, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But here's the obvious, number one. Touch Him as He passes by. This is your greatest opportunity. I don't know what your need is, and I'll get to some of that in a moment. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to repent. Maybe there's sin in your life. You know, Christians do sin. There's a lot of sin. You don't want me to name them all tonight. We'd be here forever. You know, if you don't tithe, that's a sin. You don't give your faith promise, that's a sin. That's two amens. I even got a right out of that. You don't reach out and witness to others, that's a sin. You don't read your Bible, that's a sin. Don't attend church on a regular basis, that's a sin. You say them are all elementary. No, they're important to God. We call them elementary, but they're important to God. And maybe you're here tonight, you need to be saved. Maybe you need to do what I did. Maybe you're in church and unsaved. The last place you need to be unsaved in is in church, where you hear the gospel preached over and over. Maybe tonight you need cleansing. I like 1 John 1, 9. I'm glad we know it. I'm glad that we can say it and we can quote it. And the Bible said if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad on a daily basis I can reach out and touch Him through confession. And we need that on a daily basis. Can I say this? Maybe it's restoration you're looking for. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. But what about health needs? I heard them on the prayer letter a while ago. Emotional needs. Something else. Maybe you're touching Him like you did tonight for somebody else, on somebody else's behalf, where you're touching Him for them. Bible said in Mark 5:33 there, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. Isn't it amazing when He reaches out and touch, or we reach out and touch back, that we can tell Him everything? Look at Psalm 51. I know you know it. Let's go there quickly. Psalm 51. You know the sin of David. I love this psalm. I remember years ago when Jimmy Swaggart messed up, this was his confessional psalm that he quoted on TV. And it's a good psalm. We know it all. I don't want to read all of it other than the first few verses. He uses every term to deal with the sin. If you look at it, verse number 1, he talks about, blot out my transgressions, wash from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions. Verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, be clear when thou judgest. Look down at verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You know, some of us tonight need that touch. This world is uncertain tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, my goodness, who in the world are we going to vote for? Well, I got that figured out. Well, you're a better Christian than I got, because I don't have it figured out yet. I've been thinking about Bernie. I don't know. The only thing I'm thinking about Bernie is he won't be in here long. He'll die. He's so old. But who are you going to elect? The economy's down. We talk about cheaper gas. It's $1.34 when I left home. Y'all was $1.69, $1.79. $1.34 is pretty good for gas, amen? But you understand that hundreds of thousands of workers are out of work. It's an uncertain time we live in. And sometimes that joy is hard to dig up that God gave to us and put in us. And sometimes we just need to reach out and touch Him. And say, Lord, I need that joy You gave me to kind of bubble up in my soul. And then look here, if you will, it always gets gooder. Look at verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. I'm glad that that can't happen today. Amen. You'd realize how many times God had taken the Holy Spirit out of all of us if that could happen. Didn't take much to take it off the men of God back in the old days there. And today He's in there for how long? Forever. You better be glad and happy about that. But watch this. This is what I want to get to. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Uphold me with Thy free spirit. And after that He said, then will I teach transgressors Thy ways. Sinners shall be converted unto Thee. I think you and I need to listen to me as He passes by tonight. Just reach out and touch Him for restoration. Reach out and touch Him that He restore the joy that we once had. Reach out and touch Him so He can restore that life we once enjoyed as a child of God. I don't know about you, but you're looking at a happy Christian. And I want you to know everything not going well. Preacher, I told the church the other night when I was preaching over Brother Woodward's that my wife and I, since I left the pastorate, have survived on half of what I made as pastor. Explain that. You can't explain that. Other than that God, and by the way, going out in evangelism like a missionary going on deputation, you reach out and touch Him a whole lot. By prayer, amen? And reaching out. I don't know how to explain it other than, you say, well, haven't you been down in the... Well, from time to time, everybody gets down. But there's no fun down there. Amen. It's joy. He come that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. And I'm going to try and enjoy that until the real joy comes in heaven, amen? And then, may I say to you tonight, be transformed by Him. I like being transformed by Him. Scripture that comes to mind here is one that we all know by heart. Our Christian school students memorized it. But let me read it to you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, sometimes we just need to ask God to transform our way of thinking, transform our way of living. Now let me go back here again. In churches all over America, and just in starting the fourth year of evangelism, we've been in so many churches, and sin's running rampant. I don't have time, preacher, and I know you've preached on it, and some of you staff members have done it in your class or whatever. Social media is killing us. I'm not against it. I'm for tech. I've got one of them big Samsung 5s. I know there's newer one. Every time I get one, it gets newer. But I almost got this one figured out. Yeah. But the thing about it is, it's tearing up marriages. It's tearing up young teenagers. Did you hear the other day, and I won't even mention the state because it may offend somebody, I ought to mention it. Do you realize they voted in New Mexico, I did anyways, to approve sexting with no fines or no jail time for teenagers? Look it up. Look it up. And that's going to come to our cities before you know it. If today that we're dealing with same-sex marriage, don't tell me that they're going to get upset about a little sexting on the telephone. And yet it's destroying ministries, it's destroying people. It's time that we reach out. Instead of touching the cell phone, touch Him. Keep your mind clean. And then may I say number four, tune Him in. What do you mean, preacher? Everybody, Brother Dan Wooders got that little thing on his ear, drives me crazy. How many of y'all got one of them earpieces when you're talking on your phone? I'm in Walmart the other day, and I said, what'd you say? And it wasn't talking to me at all. They were talking on their little phone here. They didn't have nothing where I could see it. You know, we need to tune Him in. If it takes a headset, whatever it takes. If it takes prayer, whatever it takes. Maybe you ought to put, and some of you do, have the King James Bible on your phone or something, or good music on your phone. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, look up here. I'm in enough churches already to know that the preachers are talking to them. And it's not just the men. It's women. It's not just the men and women. It's your teenagers. I hope they don't have a private room. One of their rooms that's their room. There's no such thing in my home when my boy's growing up. They don't have their room. It's my room. It's Mama's room. And there's been so much damage in families because they've let that go and get out of hand. You know, if we don't tune our radio in on the proper station, you can't understand what in the world they're saying. So is true with the Lord. In order for you and I to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, we must do our best to set aside any and all outwardly interference, any worldly interference, and tune in the Lord. How many of you read your Bible? Say amen. You ought to read it every day. My wife far outreads me. She's a quick reader, a quick talker. And she reads. She likes to get up and go in there. She sits in her little chair, you know. It's got a little light over the top of it. She's got her international coffee here, which is vanilla, yuck. And she drinks that, reads her Bible. And every once in a while, I think she knows what I'm walking through. Because when I walk through, she's like this. Every once in a while, I think she says something about husband. Like she's praying about her husband needs to get it together or whatever. But she always reads her Bible. Look up here. Ain't a day goes by that my wife and I don't read our Bible. And I know you're some of you are that way. That's the only way I know to keep him tuned in. So then faith cometh by and hearing by the? Absolutely. How's my faith going to be strengthened? How's my faith going to be challenged? How am I going to live by faith? How am I going to work by faith? How am I... It's by tuning Him in as He passes by. If the Lord was walking through here tonight, wouldn't you want Him to stop and talk with you? Wouldn't you want Him to reach out and touch you? How many of you got needs in here? Just say amen. We got all kinds of needs, don't we? We got marital needs. We got kid needs. Nobody got financial needs. We all have needs of some sort. We need to learn how to tune Him in. But He'll learn how to. He already knows your need. He already knows what you need. He already knows how He's going to take care of it. This didn't take Him by surprise. It's like that widow of Zarephath, Elijah. He knew what she had need of. He sent the man of God down there. She followed the leadership of the man of God. She heard the word of God from the man of God. And she was blessed, was she not? Preached a message on admission that the Lord has everything He needs. Faith promise ought never be an issue. Just a matter of prayer between you and God. And God always has everything He needs. Always tell the story of that coin in the fish's mouth. You believe that story? I'm thinking about, said Peter, go get the first fish you catch. Look inside his mouth. There's a coin that'll pay all of our taxes. Wouldn't that be good? Crappie season just come in down in Texas. Largemouth bass come in, sand bass are schooling. Would to God I could catch a fish that would have the money in his mouth to pay my taxes. Amen. And remember when the Lord told his disciples to go get that colt that no man had ever ridden on so he could take and fulfill prophecy as he rode into that great triumphal entry? Everybody remember that? Did the disciples find the colt? Right where he said it would be? Did the old man that they argued with, don't tell me they didn't argue. In fact, don't tell me they didn't sit there and say, you're going to ask him for it. I'm not asking him. Can you imagine walking up to a stranger and saying, the one nobody likes, Jesus, he wants your coat. The one that you just born into, he wants him. By the way, did they come back with him? Sure they did. Sure they did. See, the Lord has everything he needs. He's just waiting for you and I to obey. He's waiting for you and I to reach out and to tune him in to a point where we can hear every word, and not only hear every word, but obey every word. And then, may I say this to you tonight. Thank him as he passes by. Look at 1 Timothy with me. This is my favorite. I'm hurrying, but I want to get out of here and get you out of here because I want to come to the sale tomorrow. I'm not going soul winning. I'm coming to the sale. My wife's already seen a dozen things in there. I wouldn't let her touch them. Membership ought to have. Thank him as he passes by. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul speaking, you know that. Look at verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious. Stop right there. Look up here. You realize that this is Paul who used to be Saul. You remember when Saul used to go out and get Christians and put them to death? Put them in prison? Feed them to the ravenous beast. Does everybody remember that? Do you understand that Saul was no better than ISIS today? And yet on the road to Damascus, God saved him, turned his life completely upside down. He reached up and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He reached out and touched the Lord, and he found out later he was grateful for touching the Lord and him touching him. And he says it here, and I love this. He says, he even remembered who he was. I was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And watch this. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him, the life everlasting. You that said you were saved a moment ago, at one time in life when the Lord reached out to touch you by the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, you read back to touch Him by faith. The grace and faith that He made, faith and grace He made possible for you to be saved by. But what He's wanting today is what He wanted from all of the disciples, all of the Christians from the day He died and rose again to this day. He wants us to reach out and touch Him daily. Now listen to me carefully. You can do that by thanksgiving. I wake up every morning before I throw here, or if I'm on somebody else's bed and I have to sleep over here. And when you're out, you never know what you're going to sleep on. But anyway, before I throw that bed or leg over the bed, I'm saying this, Lord, thank you for letting me wake up this morning. Thank you for another good night. It's a new day, Lord. I'm going to need you today. And by the way, we don't ever know how much we're going to need Him. I like Dr. Coral's message years ago about getting God on the line and keeping Him there. My mama, bless her heart. My mama was one of them old, she could do so many things. She was multifaceted, multi-talented. She could iron clothes, keep the phone in her ear, and watch all my children. At the same time. Thank Him as He passes by. Praise Him. Thanksgiving and praise go together. That's the will of God, by the way. You and I both know that. It's the will of God for you and I to praise Him and thank Him over and over and over again. I'm so glad tonight that God allowed me to be a part of that. And then may I say this. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then next, Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord. Maybe tonight what you need to do is just reach out and touch Him and take Him as your Savior. Take Him as your Savior tonight. I sit in church just like you're sitting here tonight. People, preacher would ask me in the service, if you know the Lord as your Savior, would you raise your hand, please? I'd slip that thing up knowing that I didn't know for sure. Some of you have done that same thing. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. That's the last thing I want you to do. But I want you to know it bothered me. There was something about it, something missing. I am so glad that God kept just kind of touching me every once in a while. He just kept touching me. And He worked through the preacher who kept touching me. My preacher used to come out on my job and visit with me. He'd wait till I lit up a cigarette. He'd stand there until it burnt down to the filter, and then he'd come talk to me. I mean, he just that way. But he stayed after me, kept touching me. Touching me with His love. Touching me with His concern. Just like God keeps touching us. Every single time a preacher preaches, He touches your heart. It may be on some different subject each and every week, and usually is. He's touching you. And what you need to do is learn how to reach up and touch Him again. Because He may not pass your way again. He may not speak to your heart the same way again. And by the way, I remember a young man in the Bible that was so. His name was Esau. Esau sought repentance, weeping bitterly, sought repentance. And my Bible in Hebrews said he found none. I wouldn't want to be there any day of my life. I wouldn't want to sit there and be able to pray and God not hear me. He said, well, God will always hear if I pray. Be careful. Be careful. You don't hear it preached anymore about sitting away the day of grace. You used to hear it from time to time. But take Him as your Savior as He's passing by. There is nowhere in the Scripture that says that Jesus came by this very same area again in His ministry while He was here. What would have happened if that woman hadn't pressed to and reached out and touched Him? I don't know. I get a picture sometimes of stuff in the Bible. I think she was crawling underneath, pushing herself through there. And I think the reason she got that hem of the garment, she just reached it until she touched it. And virtue went out of Christ. All of a sudden, that lady was healed and got up. Felt like $1 million. Praising the Lord. Listen to me carefully. It's Easter today. Go back to the story. I'm done. Go back quick. So much to be said. I can't even develop them all, but listen to me. Reach out and touch Him. Reach out and take Him now. If you're not saved, do that. I want you to see something here. This is such a beautiful story in our text. I want you to notice that Jesus stopped in the middle of going to Jairus' home. And during that process, if you'll look down with me, and it's amazing when you look at this, how powerful this is. Look at verse 36, or verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now look up here. I remember another situation where this man by the name of Lazarus and Mary Martha were praying that Jesus would come. You remember that? So he had a stop in his ministry to do some other things, and later he shows up. I think you remember the story real well. You're already thinking about it. He said, Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus came forth, didn't he? But he was dead. He'd been in the grave 4 days. He stinketh, the Bible says. Are y'all with me? See, you understand that when you reach out and touch the Lord, He doesn't forget that touch. He doesn't forget that He has to do. And so what He did is He took care of business, and then later, knowing that He could raise Him from the dead, went and took care of business. Same thing happened here. Watch this. It's an amazing story. It says here in verse number 36, as soon as He heard the word that it was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He suffered no man to follow Him, save Peter, James, John, the brother of James. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly due to the 12-year-old daughter's death. When he was come in, he saith to them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with Him, entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged straight, no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Look up here. if we will continually reach out, do everything, set the throngs aside, break through the worldliness, break through all the things in life, and get as close to Christ as we can get. Even when there's needs in our life that don't seem to be met right now, won't you ever give up on it? Because He may be right in the middle of doing something else for somebody. He said, well, can He do it all at once? But He may be trying you a little bit. See what you do. See, there was no need for Him to go back to the house. He's already dead. But the Lord spoke up, reached out and touched them again. And they touched Him back. So, well, then come on. And He went and raised their daughter to life again. You know, that's all God's looking for tonight. You see, what happened that day is that girl got a touch of Easter. You realize that Jairus and his family got a touch of Easter. That little 12-year-old got a touch of Easter. What do you mean? If it hadn't have been for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we wouldn't even be talking about this story. He died, He was buried, but He rose again. That He might have, by for you and I, forgiveness of sin, victory over Satan, victory over the grave. That we might have life everlasting. And so what He was doing was raising Lazarus from the dead, and this 12-year-old from the dead was nothing. Because He knew He was the resurrection and the life. And He gave them two families the touch of Easter, even before Easter had ever begun. Easter's upon us. It's coming up soon. And Jesus is saying to you and I, showing us here in these two stories, that every day can be Easter. In fact, it'll be Easter Thursday tomorrow. It'll be Easter Friday. What do you mean? You understand that 12 months out of the year, 365 days out of the year, year after year, throughout eternity, for all Christians, is Easter. Maybe, just maybe, that's why I come to church on the Lord's Day. Because every Sunday is just a little Easter. The day of resurrection. Come to church to worship, to get preached to be taught the Word of God, to learn to apply what we've learned, to be encouraged, to be around other people, but so that I might reach out and touch Him who desires to reach out and touch me. To meet the unchanging God in an unchanging world. And my, do we need Him today. Reach out and touch Him. Christ just says the word, or touches the eye of the blind man, or the limb of the lame man, or the blood issue of this woman, or the death of a 12-year-old daughter, and there's new life, new vision, a new future that we would never have had had Jesus not passed by on that certain day. Maybe this is your certain day. Maybe this is your certain night. Maybe you got a need that no one else can take care of. I don't know what it is. I'm an independent Baptist. I'm not a charismatic. I'm not a name it, claim it. But I do believe in the miraculous power of God. I've seen people deliver from all kinds of diseases over my ministry of 37 years, and I still believe He can do it tonight. Amen. It don't matter whether you got cancer, if you got some other disease that is in your body, He's able. He said, why hadn't He done it? Don't you give up. You keep reaching out and touching Him. You keep reaching out and praying, because one day He might just happen by and say, Zoom. Zoom. And bring about that which you have been praying about for so long. It may be a marital situation. It may be a prodigal child. It may be something along those lines. It may be your own life. It may be a job. It may be some health issue. But He's here tonight. He's walking up and down. Maybe it's one of you teenagers thinking about going a different direction. He's here tonight. And He's touching your heart and wanting you to reach back and touch Him and claim the victory that He has for you. I'm glad Easter's coming, March 27th. But I'm not going to worship Easter like so many do on Easter Sunday. Even though that's down now, nobody comes anymore on Easter Sunday other than God's children if they're not too busy. But the thing about it is, listen, I'm not going to wait on Easter Sunday to have a great day. Some people have shot the Easter bunny, they've swallowed the Easter eggs, and all those other things. Listen, I'm going to serve the Lord, the resurrected Lord, every day. Claim that new life, that resurrected life, every day. And so you undoubtedly don't have any problems. I'm going to tell you something. I can get on the other end, and I can get negative, and I can get pessimistic. But who in the world wants to live there? There's coming a day. The Bible said, I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there were no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, new truth coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away their tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor cry, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is the thirst of the fountain of water life freely. Can I tell you that big day is coming? And it's only coming by way of Easter. Because had He not resurrected from the grave, there'd be no day like that. But that day is upon us, even as we speak tonight. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I want to pray with you for just a moment. I don't know what your need may or may not be. But there'll be an altar call given in just a moment. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not 100% sure if you died right now, this is your night to reach out. He's touching your heart right now. And it's time for you to reach back and accept Him by faith. The Lord Jesus crucified, buried, risen again from the dead. We need to learn how to touch Him, how to worship Him, how to praise Him. We need to pray for Him to enable us to believe in the truth that He has given us in the Word of God, that we might live by it and we might obey it and find victory in it. Help us to live that victorious life over death, the grave, hell, sin, and Satan. Help us to remain faithful until He comes for us in that great rapture of the saints. And help us continue to reach out to those who need Him. After all, it's Easter today. Help us to enjoy that life in its fullness. Father in heaven, Lord, I love You. Thank You for the privilege just to be able to share some thoughts You gave me. And there's so much more that we could all add. God, thank You that You came down to touch men, women, boys, and girls. And thank You, Lord, that we can reach back and touch You. Heavenly Father, bless tonight's altar call. I don't know what needs are here tonight, but there's a few. And I pray, God, that You'd answer them, that You in a miraculous way would help whoever it is with whatever it is they have a need for tonight as they reach out and touch You. In this service tonight, we pray, ask it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Everybody standing, please. No one looking about. Everybody standing, heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. Let me ask a couple of questions here tonight. How many of you here tonight can say with an uplifted hand, I know that I know that I'm saved? If you know that, could you slip your hand up? Just slip it up right now. I know I'm saved, preacher. Look at that. Whoa, what a wonderful thing. Put them down. How many of you, real quickly, listen to me carefully. How many of you just raised your hand just now and said you were saved? The Lord spoke to you in some way tonight. Would you do me a favor? Would you slip it back up? Slip it back up? Several hands. I wouldn't wait. If God's speaking to you, reaching out and touching you, it would be a good thing to slip out from where you are and just come. In just a moment, she's going to start playing the instruments. But an instrument ought not be what pulls us to an altar. It ought to be His touch, His voice, His beckoning tonight. Then how many of you here tonight would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm kind of like you. I've been sitting in church. I just don't know I'm saved. Can you pray for me? And I will. Nobody will bother you. I just want to know how to pray. He said, preacher, that's me. I don't know I'm saved. If I die tonight, I don't know I can go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up high enough where we can see it and put it right back down. Nobody looking. Looking around, looking for that hand. Would you slip it up? Anybody? God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else like to get in on that prayer? Any other hand? Not saved? Don't know you're saved? Anybody? Father in heaven, I sing the one hand. I pray, God, that You would work on the heart of that young lady, Lord, and have her just to come and settle that matter in her heart. And then, Lord, these that raised their hands said You had spoke to them tonight. Would You have them come, get on their knees before You, and just settle that matter? Whatever it may just be something they need for You to work with them about. Maybe it's something they need to confess. Repent of. God, deal with our hearts tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As she plays, you come.